You know, friends, there are times when the normalcy of life is interrupted. 1 minute we're cruising down the highway of life, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the unthinkable happens. And this has happened not once, but twice this year for our local church. The first time was when Lynn Wilford had unexpectedly passed from this life to the next. Then our community felt the sting of losing Miss Joyce Yarborough. This past Friday, we just celebrated the life of Del Bolin. And now our community is swimming in uncertainty as we are concerned with the safety for another precious member. It seems that these families and our church family have been thrown yet another curveball. So instead of finishing our mini-series on tithing, I felt led by the Holy Spirit yesterday to preach on what do we do when life throws us a curve. You know, there's multiple stories within Scripture that detail when life threw a person or a community a curve. But there is one verse, one single verse that I cling to when life throws me a curve. And I just wanted to share that verse with you this morning. That's found in the Gospel of John in the 16th chapter, and it's actually the 33rd verse. In the context around that verse, this is the verse that comes at the end of Christ's final announcements to his disciples that life is about to throw them a curve. You see, his crucifixion would take place the next day. The world with which they had grown accustomed to living in was about to come to an abrupt halt. The person that had brought meaning to their lives was not going to be present with them any longer. This teaching of Jesus, it had them confused, just as confused as when they heard the announcement that he had perished on the cross at Calvary. Not only was confusion present in this dark and gloomy night, but so was the fear of the unknown. The frailty of humanity was on full display before Jesus. And seeing this, he looks into the faces of his friends and says in John 16, 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I remember I found this verse as I was serving a church in Searcy, Arkansas. I had went to see a church member and their family in the hospital, and what I didn't know was life had thrown them a curveball. Something unexpected had taken place, and fear, anxiety, worry, and hopelessness was as real and present as the air with which I was breathing. I was so young in ministry, so overwhelmed by their news, not knowing how to respond. Back in those days, when I could still read small print, I carried a pocket New Testament. I opened my Bible to the back that offered scriptures for certain situations, and that reference guide listed this verse. I've never forgotten that moment. And I confess that I've leaned on this verse more times than I care to count when faced with curveballs in my own life. What I learned that day was this. Just as Christ wasn't willing to leave his disciples in that permanent state of confusion and despair, our Lord isn't going to leave us there either. It doesn't mean that hurt won't be experienced. It doesn't remove times of sorrow and or uncertainties. I kind of like the way the allegory is of the Christian life is expressed in Pilgrim's Progress. Maybe you have read the book. The main character is named Christian, and he's on a journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And along the way, him and all the other pilgrims come across various obstacles that can't be avoided. One such place is the Slough of Despond, where pilgrims can find themselves sinking in their mire, and depending upon the amount of burden they have on their backs, can find it very difficult to get out. Christian had this problem until a man named Help came and pulled him out. And Christian asks Help, why has this place not been fixed so that this journey might be easier and more secure for the pilgrims? And Help responds, saying that this place cannot be mended. The point being that places like these are inevitable. And no matter how mature we are, no one is immune to these places. Such places cannot be mended, only traveled through. A classic allegory of the Christian journey. Life will always create situations and circumstances that we have no control over. None of us will be sheltered from the harshness of life. None of us can escape the pain of living, nor the storms of life. And as much as we may try to protect our loved ones from this, we can't. But just because we have no control over these times, what we do have control of is where we place our focus. What we do have control of is where we gain our hope and our strength. Our scripture tells us that when life throws us a curve, we must make Christ our focus. For when we do, we will find strength. We will regain hope. And believe it or not, there's a peace to be experienced in the midst of our tribulation. So I say to all who are facing a curveball of some kind, don't become lost in the ifs, whys, and hows of life. To allow this to become one's focus will only compound the feelings of despair, anger, and hopelessness. And I don't say it because I know how to write well. I say it because as a preacher, I've lost my focus. And those things were the realities that I had to struggle back through, which nearly put me back in the throes of addiction and the attitude of life that I didn't care. I want to remind us that our verse, it highlights the truth that God invites us to always trust in Him, to place our trust in Him, to lean into Him as passionately as we lean into our emotions. And when we do, we will miraculously find peace. Now, to help us understand the kind of peace that Christ is speaking of, I want to share one other. It's an old sermon illustration that I believe conveys the meaning perfectly. You know, I may have already shared it one time in a sermon as your pastor. I don't remember. But if I have, I still think it's worth sharing again. The story goes like this. A king once offered a prize to the artist who could paint the best picture of peace, and many tried. But there were only two the king really liked, the story says. One was of a calm lake. It was a perfect mirror for the peaceful towering mountains all around it. And overhead was the beautiful blue sky with the fluffy white clouds. The other picture, it had mountains in it also, but they were rugged and bare. And above them was an angry sky from which fell rain and in which lightning played. And down the sides of the mountain tumbled a waterfall. And this did not look peaceful at all. But when the king looked closely, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in a crack in the rock. And in the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. There, in spite of the rush of angry water, she set her on her nest in perfect peace. The story asked the question, which picture do you think the king picked? And it was the second one. And when asked why, the king explained it this way. He says, because peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, no trouble, no hard work. Peace means to be in the middle of all these things and still be calm in one's heart. This is the peace that Christ offers us. A peace within our hearts to let us know that regardless of what is happening, we are in His care. In our situation, no matter how horrific it might be, God is present there and working as well. As I wrote this sermon last night, I prayed. I prayed God would impart His peace into each of us, allowing it to take up residency within all those places and spaces where chaos, confusion, and the crippling effects of loss may reside. That's the beauty of God. That's the miracle of the cross, right? It displays to us that we can exchange our brokenness for God's healing. And that's not just limited, brothers and sisters, to a spiritual reality. It also includes an emotional and physical one as well. God knows our situation. He knows our pain. But we can take heart. For God hears the sighs and cries of our soul, and when we give them to Him, it is His peace that surpasses understanding that we take, that takes their place. So, brothers and sisters, friends and family, may the peace of Christ be with each of you. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.